Hey, it's Jed Hearn, host of Wizards, Warriors, and Words. If you're enjoying the writing advice on this show, you might like my new podcast, The Jed Hearn Show, where every week I share the best fantasy writing advice that I've learned from publishing 3 fantasy novels and a best-selling video game. There's over 12 episodes that you can listen to right away, including my top 10 fantasy books of all time, how to make fantasy names that don't suck, 2 rules that make writing effortless, and my complete summaries of Brandon Sanderson's and Neil Gaiman's writing classes, and much more. Check it out by searching for The Jed Hearn Show in your podcast app.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Then a couple of agents reached out to me, and I hadn't considered doing traditional publish because, I wasn't trying to become a traditionally published author. And I said, well, I guess I released it self-published and it worked well. When am I ever going to have an opportunity to see it both ways for the exact same book?
Welcome back to the podcast. I'm Jed Hearn, author of Siege of Treblin, and I'm joined by my fellow writer, Dirk Ashton.
Hello, everybody. I'm Dirk Ashton, author of the Paternus Trilogy.
And we are joined once again by the audiobook narrator and author, Travis Baldry. Travis, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me back.
So last week we talked a bit about your audiobook kind of narrating career. And this week I wanted to talk more about your actual book. Do you want to tell us a little bit about literature and lattes? Sorry, not literature and lattes.
Literature.
Might as well be, right?
I was thinking about something else there.
Yeah.
Sorry about that.
That's Scrivener. What is it?
Yeah, I think I was thinking about Scrivener the other day, so I was like, yes, sorry about that. That's
it all interlocked.
That's amazing.
Legends and Lattes is basically a cozy fantasy about a orc barbarian who retires from adventuring in her 40s and decides to open a coffee shop in a city that doesn't know what coffee is. And so it's basically kind of chill slice of life. When I was first thinking about doing it, I described it as a Hallmark movie set in the Forgotten Realms. And I thought it was going to be funnier than it was. And then it ended up being really earnest. So that's what it is.
Now, did you know what cozy fantasy was when you wrote this?
I hadn't a clue what it was. I feel like the moniker has floated around a little bit, but I think it's been popularized over the last year.
Yes.
There's a lot of books that intersect with that. T. Kingfisher writes a lot of stuff like that. Paladin's Grace, Swordheart. I think Terry Pratchett is basically cozy fantasy. People talk about cozy fantasy, and Terry Pratchett writes fantasy
cozy
books.
Fantasy.
Really, they aren't about saving the world or battle or anything else. They're about real human issues or societal issues with characters that you like to be around, with a very kind of quintessentially British wit.
Yeah.
So awesome. Diana Wynne Jones, I mean, Howl's Moving Castle is kind of cozy fantasy. Studio Ghibli movies, kind of cozy fantasy. So I feel like it exists, but I think people are mostly just really looking for it right now because COVID and like the world just
as
in
a
general.
Comfort offers. Yeah, now, that's fair. how would you define cozy fantasy?
Yeah.
Well, obviously, I think it's going to have some sort of speculative fiction element. I think you could have cozy fantasy and sci-fi, honestly. But in general, I think it's something that's ultimately comforting and that's human-centered. And at the end of the day, you feel good after you read it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, to me, it's like a chicken soup book, right?
Yeah. You almost say it right in the title. I'm looking at Legends and Lattes on Amazon right now. Legends and Lattes, a novel of high fantasy and low stakes.
Yeah, which is genius. You can have some stress, but it's not going to be. It's more personal. Yeah, more personal kinds of frictions and dramas.
There's rather no than like blood. These big world
it's
ending
not bloody. Sort of there's violence. Not like horror elements. It's
and like anything, I'm sure you can. I mean, it's you can fit whatever you want into it that you want to fit into it. That's the great thing about books is that there's not any real hard and fast rules. But I think it's like if you talk about a romance, you generally talk about the fact that it pretty much needs an HEA. It needs a happily ever after, right? That's like a kind of a defining feature of romance. And I would hazard to say that cozy fantasy probably just needs you to feel good at the end. And that, you know, that it feels personal.
Mm.
It cares more about people than it does about events.
Yes. I like the fact that you say that Pratchett's books fall into that category. Because now that you say that, I'm like, yes, every time I finish a Discworld book, I feel great at the end. Like, I feel comforted. Right. I feel warm.
And his characters.
Yeah that's right.
I love Death. Death is like the best freaking character. Yeah. You know? You know, and they're all, it's obvious that Terry Pratchett is really optimistic about human beings. I think maybe that's another core component. There's like an optimism about humanity and about people and their relationships and that ultimately things can get better, right?
Yes.
It's just this basic humaneness to it. And I think everything Terry Pratchett writes is that way. It's ultimately really humane.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's actually a really good way of looking at it. That's given me a new appreciation for Discworld, actually. That's cool.
Yeah.
I
mean, cozy, Discworld's the great. Word cozy so comes from like cozy mysteries, right? Cozy, even.
Because they're taking like a mystery and they're scaling it back to this very personal level. And there's a lot of these trappings that, there's the trappings that make you feel good, like the chicken soup element. Like, you know, they're trading recipes or we've got quilting or whatever. There's something small scale that you can still be invested in, you know, but it's very, very personal.
What kind of excites me and really interests me a lot about Legends and Lattes is that you self-published this originally.
Yeah.
And when did it come out?
February 22nd this year. This year, 22.
Of this year, right.
Yeah.
And it became such a sensation right away. And a lot of that, I'm sure, comes from you have a lot of fans as a narrator, right?
Actually, I don't think so at all.
No? You don't think that they ran in?
I think there's very limited crossover because most of the people who found the book had no idea who the hell I was.
Oh, really?
That's awesome.
The faintest idea.
But it became a huge hit right away. And people were looking for these kinds of things. And if you look at like the gaslit fantasy, romantic fantasy, there's no cozy fantasy. So people were obviously looking for those kinds of things, found your book, and then word of mouth spread, and it became kind of an overnight sensation, to be honest. An overnight sensation after years of hard work to write the goddamn thing, right? And coming up with a decent idea and getting it out there and doing all the cover work and everything else. But still,
this was a pretty short period of time. I wrote this for National Novel Writing Month last year. So there was about November, December, January, February. So it was a little under, it was under 3 months from finishing it to releasing it. And it was a month to write it.
Okay. That was
very
quick.
Inspiring.
It took longer to do the paperwork with Tor.
How long had you been thinking about wanting to do something like this, though?
So I did National Novel Writing Month unsuccessfully for years prior.
Okay.
This was the first year I outlined one. And a friend of mine, Aiden Shore, who's another narrator, convinced me to do it last year. And so a month or two before, I was like, okay, sure. And I wrote up an outline and then did it. So it was a relatively compressed period of time.
Sure.
I pre-ordered the paperback, by the way.
Aww.
Oh, well, there we go. Now. We made a sale live on air. I love that.
Now, one thing. So it became this kind of sensation, and it caught the eye of Tor very quickly. And
so it went through
by
an agent first, actually.
By June, what's that?
It actually went through an agent first, weirdly. So the agents reached out to me, not Tor.
Okay,
wow, that's
so
very
an agent
rare.
Did.
reach out.
Then, but things happened very quickly. An agent reached out to you. They pitched it to Tor and whoever. Mm-hmm. And by June of this year, you were released it in February. By June of this year, you had Tor.
Yeah, they took over.
It had been put out again under Tor.
Yeah.
And you have, and people who are listening who are authors know, over 7,000 ratings on Amazon. And that's just like unbelievably phenomenal. A good friend of mine, Quinby Olson, wrote a cozy fantasy called Miss Percy's Pocket Guide to the Care and Feeding of British Dragons. And it's done really, really well, better than any of her books. She just released it just under a year ago, and it's got 627 ratings, which is very good. Paternus, which came out in 2016, still doesn't have anywhere near that many. It has over 500, but it doesn't have that many. And people consider Paternus a fairly successful book. So to give an example, Cozy is kind of a big deal, but yours has over 10 times that amount in half the amount of time, which is pretty impressive. So I know you won't blow your own horn, so I'm going to blow it for you.
Tell us more about, so like that initial kind of first couple of months after it came out, and then that experience of the agent reaching out to you and how things kind of progressed from there. I'd love to hear some more about that story.
Sure. So I was preparing to release it. I got my final cover art, and about 3 weeks before my planned release date, I posted it on Twitter. And then Seanan McGuire like retweeted it and said, oh, this looks really cool. And all of a sudden, a lot of people were interested in it.
Wow.
Yeah. Again, these are people that had no idea who the hell I was.
For sure, yeah.
And so I said, well, I guess I better turn the pre-order on. So I did that. And the pre-orders were really good. And then it released. And again, it's all doing... I only released this to learn how the process worked, because I work with authors all the time. I just wanted to do it because I like to learn stuff. So
and you work with
I just
a lot
wanted
of
to pay for my cover art.
You work with a lot of self-pub authors.
I work with tons of self-pub authors and small press authors. So I just wanted to see the other side of it. So this was all very surprising to me. The launch went really well. Seanan actually then read it and said, oh, I really liked this, and wrote a really nice tweet thread about it saying nice things. And then it started to proliferate on TikTok and YouTube and Instagram and what have you. And I started getting fan art.
Whoa.
Fan art.
Do you have tattoos yet? Fan art.
I do.
Uh-huh. No way.
It's amazing.
You made it when fans are tattooing
also,
their bodies.
Someone built a miniature of the coffee shop.
Sweet.
Like an incredibly detailed miniature. Crazy. So some sculptures, knitted characters.
Wow.
Bunkers.
Oh
really
God.
Crazy
That's
stuff.
Next level. Yeah.
So then a couple agents reached out to me, and I hadn't considered doing traditional publish because I wasn't trying to become a traditionally published author. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, I guess I released it self-published and it worked well. When am I ever going to have an opportunity to see it both ways for the exact same book?
Right.
And do it. I mean, so I guess, why not? What have I got to lose? Really? So I said yes, and I picked an agent.
Hopefully they gave you a nice advance.
It was really nice.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.
So Stevie Finnegan is my agent with Zeno in the UK, and she took it out. And within, I think, 48 hours, Tour UK had come out with, I'm forgetting the name of the type of offer, but it's a timed one where basically they're going to give you a better offer and they want you to accept within a certain period of time so they don't get into a bidding war.
Yep.
And it was Tour, and I love Tour. Mm-hmm. I'm a big fan of the way Tour treats their books, the covers they do. They just, they care about their books and they publish things that I like. Mm. So I said yes. And then they went and did the rounds to sell the international rights, and they sold them to Tour US, which I was also very happy about, which means I get Tour on both sides of the water. I didn't know they were different at the time, but they are.
They're all owned
by Macmillan, but Tour US actually has to bid for the rights to buy them from Tour UK against other publishers, including other publishers owned by Macmillan. It's very, this is a new thing for me. So I was surprised by all of this. And then things got moving because they wanted to republish the paperbacks this year, which is a really short period of time for print.
So I just pre-ordered.
They were literally getting them ready before the deal was signed in order to save time.
Wow. So they were that confident. They used your original cover.
In the US, it uses the original cover. In the UK, it has a new cover. And then I asked them to include the black and white of the original art on an interior frontispiece, just because I like it and I like being able to look at the characters. So yeah, the US is using the same cover art. It has some new typography and stuff, and it's, you know, Tor logo on it, other cool stuff. But yeah, the book is mostly the same. There's very little editorially different. There's some house style changes. I changed a couple of words, but it's basically the same book. But then I wrote a prequel short that also gets put into it for all the paperbacks.
Nice.
So they had some, you know, an additional thing and reason to republish the paperbacks.
Yeah, they all have their own style things and, you know, where they prefer. Yeah, Oxford commas for UK.
How do you do the, how are you using with M dashes and N dashes and exactly how many periods are in an ellipsis that determinates a sentence and that kind of stuff. So you need to go through that pass.
Yeah, that's even but hard. Mine changed through each three book. When I used for the dash, it changed in each three books.
I was going to say two things here, which I find really interesting is, first of all, this is just a really inspiring example of like, you just don't know what can happen when you like actually commit to just writing a book and putting it out there. Like we talk a lot on the show about how like a lot of authors just need to write and publish like lots and lots of books until something takes off. But like, don't let that, if you're listening to this right now and you're, you know, working on that first book and you're like, oh, I don't know whether I should put it out or not. I think Travis's story is like a really inspiring example of how just doing something for the fun of it and just putting it out there, like you never know where that can take you or like if that's going to tap into a particular vein or whatever. So, you know, don't like hold yourself back from that. Like just, I guess commit to trying these things because you don't know.
Yeah.
And the second thing is that like, I'd love to ask what were some of the things you learned about this? Because you mentioned that you kind of went into this process wanting to see the other side of the fence and seeing what it was like for authors because you have obviously the experience of working with them as an audiobook narrator. So you've kind of had almost the perfect vantage point for every single part of the process because you've done the self-publishing, you've done the traditional publishing, you've had like,
you've
you know,
done
deals
the audio.
In different markets, you've done the audio. Yeah. So yeah, like just kind of talk us through some of the interesting things that were maybe surprising to you or useful for you to learn.
Well, I think one of the main things I learned, which is probably also a good addendum to just putting stuff out there and doing stuff because it's fun, is to always treat it like you're doing it professionally, even if you aren't.
Yeah.
Because the only way you're going to capitalize on a lightning strike is if you tried to do it professionally.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
So even though I was doing this for whatever, I still professionally edited and I still commissioned the artwork, you know, and paid to do it and paid for a real art and went through the real process and did nice formatting on the ebook and on the print book. I set up an Ingram Spark print so that it could be in bookstores, even though I considered there would be no way that it would be in bookstores. Well, guess what? It ended up thousands and thousands and thousands of copies in bookstores in Barnes and Nobles all over the freaking country.
Yeah.
But if I hadn't done that and treated it like it could have happened, then there's no way it could have happened.
Mm-hmm.
So just make sure your bucket doesn't have any holes in it before you stand under the rain cloud. Maybe it's not going to rain, but if it does, you don't want it all to leak out.
Yes. You want to be prepared for that.
And that was before Tor, when you were self-pub, that the paperbacks were getting into bookstores. Now, that's really rare, even for a successful book.
Super rare. And it's not something I could have predicted.
It must be the type of book that it is. People were going to stores and requesting it, and they said, okay, we need to order a dozen of these in.
So what happened was, because of the social media push, which also I didn't instigate, a lot of this I largely think was driven by the cover art, because I think the cover art was very successful. I think it very clearly establishes the tone and exactly what you're going to get out of the book.
Yep.
And when you pick up the book, if you look at the cover, what you get in the book is the same thing that's on the cover. It's not a bait and switch. That is what it is. That's the vibes. It's clearly going to have, it's going to be relationship focused. It's clearly going to be about a coffee shop and a baking thing. It's clearly going to be fantasy characters. There's clearly a little bit of the sapphic romance thing going on. And I mean, it is what it is. So I think the book cover sells it. And I think that made it possible to have the accidental social media thing that happened. But what happened on the bookseller front is that booksellers saw the same things and were interested in it as readers. And what you can do at Barnes & Noble, if you want to stock a book that Barnes & Noble doesn't want you to stock, because they don't usually bring in self-pub stuff. Even if you're going through Ingram, and even if you have a discount, and even if you're allowing for, you know, destructions and not returns, they still don't like to do it. But what you can do as a bookseller is order it in for yourself, cancel the order, and then it goes to stock. So you can order in copies and convert them into in-store stock. And so some booksellers did that. And then the book sold.
Because they
and
loved
they
the book.
Sell, you can they get justified to order
it.
Them.
Yeah, they read it and loved it, and they wanted they other people it. To read it too.
They hand-sold it. They said, hey, look, this book is cool. You should get it. And then when they sell, then they can order more. And when they order more, the booksellers that are regional talk to each other and are like, hey, I sold a bunch of this book. Uh-huh. Oh, well, we'll order it in. And so-and-so ordered it, and they sold the copies.
That's amazing.
I could watch it on the Barnes & Noble site where you can search for the existence of the books. I could watch it expand, which was really weird. And it happened over a series of weeks. And then all of a sudden the Ingram Spark sales went like that.
Yep.
But I didn't drive any of that. It was all somebody else's doing, and I just lucked into it. I'm just here. I'm just along for the ride.
Did you do any advertising AMS?
Eventually I tried putting up I tried an AMS for like 2 days and I turned it off.
They're
like,
really hard.
I did put up a Facebook ad, which I thought maybe did something.
Yeah.
But I just did one, and that was it.
Yeah. I mean, that happens. That happens.
It's hard to correlate.
People like me and Jed have to like work real hard, but there are Will has never advertised.
They said they tried some early and they're like, this is ridiculous. And they never did it again.
Mm.
Yeah.
My advertising as fast as it was to make the book cheap and put it on Kindle Unlimited. So I made it as low as I could make it price-wise, which is $2.99 before you can't do KU, I think.
Right.
Is that what it is? I feel like
it's $1.99.
Or no, that's the royalty rate. You can't go below $2.99 and do the royalty rate.
Yeah, it drops.
So I did it as low as I could do and dumped it in KU because I was like, I just want people to read the thing, you know?
Really, the greatest marketing you did is probably the cover and the title. Like, you've absolutely nailed what that book is going to.
I think the cover and concept worked, and I think I lucked into timing because again, everybody's been in COVID for 2 years.
Yeah.
Everything's grim. I don't want to read anything grim. I don't want to watch anything grim. I just want something nice for a couple of goddamn minutes.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think I just lucked into that partially because that's what I wanted when I wrote it, because it wasn't that many months prior. It was like, boy, it would be nice if I read a lot of game lit and lit RPG and action adventure stuff, and it's always some white dude who's like 20 years old saving the world for some epic threat. And I just wonder something that wasn't that. Yeah. Not because I don't like that. That's cool. But that's mostly what's on my dance card. So I just wanted something totally different. I want a chicken soup book. So, and then apparently other people did too.
Yeah, but well, that's understating.
I can't pretend that it was some like master plan on mine. It really is just like I just did a thing, and it really is up. It's down to a lot of other people who got out and pushed.
Yeah. Well, it's also obviously you've written a great book, and it I think it is. Yeah, there are so many great lessons here for people listening or watching about how like, yeah, you just do the stuff that you find really interesting, but also do treat it professionally. Like, do get a great cover. Like, don't skimp on that stuff because that's all part of the process. And the sooner that you can kind of view that as a fun creative exercise in to go along with the writing of the book, the better it will be. And then yeah, like stuff like this can happen. So
yeah, just do your best work. Do the best cover you can and do some nice professional formatting. And if your first book is not the phenomenal success that surprised the shit out of Travis and the rest of the world, then
just keep writing.
Don't quit.
Write more books.
Keep doing it.
Exactly.
Because
also,
it is a rare...
I want to throw one more thing in here. Read your book out loud to yourself.
Yep.
Because the amount that you will learn about what you do and do not want in your book will be very, very high.
Yeah.
It's very easy to skim things that you innately understand, but when you have to verbalize them, it really clarifies for you what belongs in my book.
Yes. Right. I've found that painfully true from my own experience as well. So I think that's a great tip.
Yes.
Awesome. So yeah, the book is not Literature and Lattes. It is Legends and Lattes by Travis Baldry. So go ahead and check that out.
Available everywhere. And the paperback is up for pre-order now.
Yeah, the paperbacks come out November 8th and the hardbacks in the UK November 10th. And then there will be, I guess, 8 or some odd languages slowly trickling out over the following year.
Awesome.
That is wicked. Will they get you to do the audiobook narration in other languages? Just like...
I hope not. That would be really awkward.
That would be fun. I love that. All right. Well, Travis, thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah,
really appreciate your time. And hope you enjoyed watching or listening to this episode. And we'll see you next week. Bye, everybody.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Travis.
Good night.
Thank you for listening or watching to this episode of Wizards, Warriors, and Words. If you like what we're doing here and you would like to help support the show, please go to patreon.com/Wizards, Warriors, and Words. And for a monthly subscription, you can get access to bonus episodes that you can't find anywhere else. Currently, we have 5 bonus episodes up there, and we're going to be adding more in the future. So you can check that out. The link is down below if you would like to have a look. And a special thanks to our high-tier patrons, Talon, Daniel, and Lewis. Thank you for helping support the show. We'll see you next week.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
We're all looking to make more sustainable choices, but making your own shoes out of natural materials could pose a few challenges. The twigs and leaves in your yard aren't exactly comfortable, and while mud does perfectly contour the feet, it doesn't score high on the durability front. But thanks to Allbirds, you can skip all the backyard experimentation. At the Allbirds Innovation Lab, they're doing all the sciencey stuff like research and testing to create shoes from natural, sustainable materials. And their innovative processes mean using less of the bad stuff and more of the good, while making shoes unlike any other. Like the Plant Pacer, made with 100% plastic-free plant leather. The Tree Dasher, a running shoe made from eucalyptus tree fiber. And from sugarcane, they've made the Superlight, their lightest shoe ever by weight and carbon footprint. It's not rocket science, it's shoe science. Allbirds is making shoes better than natural. They're supernatural. Find your perfect pair at Allbirds.com today. That's Allbirds.com.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey, folks, it's Mark Maron from WTF. I've been talking to all kinds of famous people in my garage since 2009, including a sitting president.
You know, I don't imagine you were flying in here on the chopper thinking like, you know, I am nervous about Mark.
No, I wasn't.
Okay, well, that's good.
That would be a problem.
It would be a problem.
If the president was feeling stressed about
it. Coming to my garage.
Coming to your garage.
And now there's even more WTF when you subscribe to the full Marin to get weekly bonus content and all WTF episodes ad-free. Listen to WTF wherever you get podcasts and subscribe to the full Marin at go.acast.com/WTF.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.